numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it to sin, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek to my right. One final day for Wyatt, in for Kelly Billen, the voice of UNLV women's basketball. Was happening?
Not much, Gil. I'm just still on cloud nine after watching that amazing game yesterday, USA versus Serbia.
It is, you know, so, well, let's start there. But let me just tell everybody on the show today, Michael Montesano is going to join us. Bet Bash 4 still in full effect over at Circa, just a short walk away from here. What would you call that? A five-minute walk, would you call it?
It should be a five-minute walk, but I always get caught at the crosswalk, the only crosswalk that you have to have.
And you got
to
dodge, again, the shankings and the shivings.
Yes.
Michael Montesano, 2000 Circa Booby Prize winner, will be here to talk all the bets he's making. He bets beyond football, but he'll have specifically an NL MVP bet that he is really all about. We'll get into that, plus so many more sports from him. Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, with all of his bets heading into the weekend. Rufus Peabody, the greatest sports bettor of his generation, I will call him. He was supposed to be here on Wednesday. Rufus has a really large brain, and he's the smartest person you will ever meet, but he has difficulty with the concept of Wednesdays. So he was not able to be here earlier in the week, so he says he's going to show up today. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he thinks today's Wednesday. I have no idea.
How much crap are you going to give him on air here?
Oh, I think it's already known. Let's see if someone escorts him. Maybe Captain Jack will escort him here. I don't know. And then Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. You may sense a theme of the guests on this show. But let's start right where you just did, Wyatt, which is, you know, I the spreads are so big. The pre-flop spreads on these USA games are so big that, and again, in the championship game, it's a large 17-point spread as well. USA took some money early on the USA-France final, and then I think France took a little back, but it's right around 17 points, give or take a half, wherever you're looking, for the championship game, which is on Saturday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, I believe is the exact time. The consolation game, or the bronze medal game, is in the dead of night between Serbia and Germany. That one's in the middle of the night. But USA-France, right in the middle of the day for us on Saturday. But USA beat Serbia yesterday, 95-91. It's one of these things where, you know, you're not really thinking about it necessarily beforehand. Some people might have had a pre-flop bet. I didn't. But it's one of those games where all of a sudden the texts start flying around. Are we really going to lose to Serbia? Are we really going to lose to Serbia? We being the United States of America, right? So the whole country's watching it at a certain point. And well down double digits, got it to within six or seven. So like late first half, a bunch of us were making in-game bets. I thought at that moment, right, because it was hovering at USA minus 4.5 when we were down double digits. I got a USA minus 3, swear to God. And I thought, oh, did I time that perfectly? Because then Serbia went right back up, right? Serbia led by 13 after 3. And you're like, oh, my God, what I thought was this cagey, super smart bet just looks terrible now. And you know, at that point, you could get USA plus 4.5. You could get them plus points, obviously. But then the talent manifested, and Serbia finally stopped making threes, which was the big thing.
I believe in the fourth quarter, they did not hit a single one.
That's right.
They said it was the power of Carmelo Anthony.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Him screaming. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Alexa Avramovic, they were just absolutely amazing from behind the arc. And, of course, Jokic is there, right? So Jokic is the unicorn of all unicorns. But the thing about the USA, and I just want to say this about this game, because obviously the U.S., there was a big six-point play in the middle of the fourth quarter, right? KD hit a three. Jokic was called for a foul while he was making that three. We got possession, and then Booker hits a three. So that really changed it from, oh, this could, you know, from probably not to, oh, this could happen now.
You know, I was watching the game with my roommates, and you know, they're like, oh, it should be a four-point play. I'm like, I don't know if it's a four-point play. I think this is an off-ball foul because
that's right.
Jokic ran into Anthony Davis, who wound up running into Kevin Durant. It's like, yeah, you want the off-ball foul because then you get the possession. And like you said, it was a 6-point play. I mean, that's the difference right there.
That was the big sequence of it. But then, you know, look, the whole thing is it. And Wishnev, Will Hill, and I were texting a lot after this game about this. You got to see 95-91, by the way, USA. They don't cover the pre-flop, but for those of us who made the bets of -3.5 and below, mine was super just complete luck that I got there. But Steph scored 36. He was 12 of 19 from the field, 9 of 14 from behind the arc. And people calling it the Steph Curry game, stat muse anyway, called that 36 points, 8 boards, cheat code, they say. I will say this, a good Steph Curry game is still, I'll take a great Steph Curry performance over anybody else's great performance at this point in life, and have felt that way for years.
He kind of felt like, Steph, it still blows my mind that he's never played for Team USA. So this is like his international moment.
He said he got he really got into it. Like, they're not playing for money, man. Mm-hmm. This is for country, right? This is for getting a gold medal, which is something, like in the case of Steph, it's not on his, on his mantle at this point. But I just thought it was amazing. We got to see Steph scoring 36. LeBron, who's going to turn 40 in December, can still take over a game at any moment, right? And then I used the word unicorn earlier. Has there ever been a bigger unicorn than Kevin Durant, right? KD.
Ooh, that shot was
a 7-foot, shooter with unbelievable range. And so you got to see the three of those guys. Mm-hmm. The last time we'll ever see them together, for sure. Well, we don't see them together on the court at the same time in the NBA. But the last time you got to see them in one shot, in one glance, and it just, if you didn't feel that yesterday, I don't know if you have a basketball pulse at all. It was just awesome to see. And it also strikes us, right, Will said this first, where it's like, and none of the three are really relevant anymore in the NBA in terms of winning a championship. Sorry, Lakers fans, LeBron ain't winning it. Steph, the dynasty is over now officially with Klay gone, right? And in the case of KD, the most peripatetic guy of all, trying to latch on wherever. That, by the way, that's the sadness of the KD legacy, is that he will be, as great as a player as he is, he will be equally remembered for, well, you didn't kind of do it yourself. You just sort of, you latched on with the Warriors, and then you went, searching for another sort of high. By the way, you can maybe some people make the same claim about LeBron, too. But anyway, it was just so great to see. And now with the game against France, what's the feeling? Is the bigger feeling, well, they got their scare, now they're going to come out and crush Wembanyama and the French team, which is kind of like a home game for France, really, to be honest. Or do they lollygag kind of like they did against Serbia? Because that was the other thing that it showed. When they decided they were going to play, nobody could beat them. By the way, there was a moment also at the end. Joel Embiid couldn't box out anybody.
Oh,
so
man.
Even on the comeback, I was like, oh, God, dude, get aboard.
Well, I think what was it? Steph might have been the leading rebounder. LeBron had a triple-double. But, the bigs were really struggling rebounding the ball there late in the game.
It's like he had no fundamentals of boxing out. So
Did you see his dunk that he had? He almost he spiked himself on the ball.
Yes.
I thought, it's got to be a foul. And the guy kind of barely like, all right, I'll let you go. And Embiid just...
He made plays, too, on both ends of the court. I don't want to completely knock Embiid. He absolutely did, and he made huge plays yesterday. But that inability to box out gave Serbia two positive possessions where they got a bucket where they probably shouldn't have, and almost a third where the ball went caroming around as well. So anyway, it was awesome because it was partly because I had the bet, obviously, but it, you got into it yesterday in a way that I wouldn't have expected I would have.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good test for USA, and I think it also helps the game of basketball. Like, you look how competitive it is around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like, many people think that France in 4 years is going to be the biggest competition for USA. So we'll see. I mean, France did not look good in their game against Germany. That was just a old-fashioned Big Ten basketball game where it's 42-39, it felt like. But there was a couple other things, Gil. One, I got to say that Kevin Durant shot there at the end was so tough. Mid-range at the elbow.
Yep.
And then it was funny. People were tweeting out, well, LeBron finally figured out how to beat Jokic. He just needs Kevin Durant, Steph Curry,
That's right.
Devin Booker, all these guys.
That's right. Total cheat code team, but that was a great game. And shout out to Serbia, who they couldn't have been any better, And at one point, you're like, they're never going to miss. So that was awesome to see. I don't know that we were planning on doing this daily every day this week, but here's your August baseball standings to the moment. The Padres, every day it's a new leader at this point because it's so early, but the Padres at 5-1 and also have the most, no one has more games left, right? 22 games left for the Padres. 5-1, they are the leader right now in the August most wins updated baseball. The Cubbies and the Giants. Hey, how adorable. Giants a game above 500. They're only 3 games out of a playoff berth, baby. Magic. And the Diamondbacks are 5-2. So Cubs, Giants, Diamondbacks all 5-2. The Brewers and Twins are 4-2, and the Red Sox are as well. And then it's the Mets in 8th place, I believe. Is that correct? Yes. Our Mets, who we have here at 20-1, they're in 8th place currently. One game worse than I had them projected to be at this moment, but obviously a lot of baseball to be played. But I just want to point out, you know, we've been making these monthly bets in baseball. For those who were with us pre-flop before the season, I always do my season win totals bets, and I made 2 this year. My single favorite was the Padres. The Padres are now well over 500. I want to say they're 9 games above 500. Let me check on that. But they're obviously off to the best start of any team here in this month of August. And right now, yeah, in the standings, they are well above, because they just need to get to 500. It's 80.5 was their season win total. So, and that is done if you read the manifestos that I wrote at VSiN.com all these years, and if you listen to the shows, I do it the same way every year. I look at Pyfag, I look at sequencing of runs, and then and only then do I get into the personnel. So the Padres are doing very well. The other one was the Cubs. My second favorite was the Cubs. Cubs have a little work to do. The Cubs have to get to 85. Got them at 84.5, I believe. So the Cubs are still 3 games below 500, but again, off to a great start in the month of August. The beauty of those season-long season wins plays in baseball, and I know it's an old-school bet, and it's one of the few that we still make tried and true every year, is that you have 162 games. You can overcome negative variance if your handicap at its core is very good. Michael Montesano, Circa Booby Prize winner, on the other side. Numbers game coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Contest season almost upon us. If you need a contest proxy, talk to the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy. VSiN's preferred proxy partner, that is. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy is now in its 9th year providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winners. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro Stadium Swim Passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now. Book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. This man knows a thing or two about contests. He won the Booby Prize in Circa Millions back in 2020, the inaugural Booby Prize, $100,000 cash for finishing with the worst record of them all. And believe me, worst record, just as impressive as best record. I'm always fascinated. It's Michael Montesano, everybody, on the show. How you doing, man?
Good. How you doing? And I had to go 0-5 the last week to win it.
Can we just, because obviously we talked about that then, but yeah, we haven't talked about it in a while. But for those, again, it's 5, you know, millions, super contest, 5 games against the spread every week of the NFL season. At what point did you decide I'm going for – you had 2 entries that year?
2 entries, yeah.
At what point did you decide to go for the booby?
Week 1, after I was 0-5 and 1-4. And I didn't even really know about the booby prize, to be honest with you. I just didn't look in depth into it. And then I finally looked at it, and I said, oh, well, I still think I'm pretty good at this thing, because the year prior, I think I finished – this was before Circa did top 50 and the top 100.
Yeah.
There was like top 10, I think they did. I finished like 36th that year in 2019, and I was pretty good in...
So you're just good at it, period.
Yeah, and then in the Gold Nugget, I finished 9th, and I won like $5,500 in 2019. I was actually first, if you go back, you can go back and check the records. I was first going into the last week. And I had a wonderful 1-6 week, and I finished 9th, and you want to talk about a miserable human being.
Brutality.
For about a month. It was like 115,000, 120,000 for the Golden
Nugget. Oh, man. I don't remember that part of the story.
Yeah.
So did you go back? So you end up getting the – so from week one.
Week one,
After week one, you decided that. Did you go back at the end and you said, oh, hey, I won the Circa Booby Prize, $100,000. Yeah. But if you took your record from week two to the end and just reversed it, what would you have finished for the top?
I probably would have finished top three.
So shouldn't you hate yourself for
that? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad we established that. I was just here to make Michael feel bad about himself. Well, how much would you have won, Tom?
Oh, wait. Okay, I'm sorry. No. So I with the two entries, okay, finished the booby prize, but then I was reversing the picks. I was just going the opposite. I did finish 47th.
Oh, 47th.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
47th on the other.
That's what I'm
from week two. Yeah, week two. 47th. I think I won like $450 because there were like a million people that.
Okay.
So
shouldn't feel so bad.
Shouldn't feel so bad. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you bet. First of all, before we get to the other sports, because I want to get into this whole NL MVP thing with you. What is your – I've asked this of others. I'll ask it of you. What is your – you know, one of your stronger NFL opinions heading into the season that is either just anecdotally or by the market, you feel people in majority feel the same way you do, or is sort of contrarian to what you've heard as sort of a conventional wisdom thought? Like, what conventional wisdom thing are you like, nah, I don't see it that way at all?
I think I'm more sold on the Jets than maybe a lot of people. I mean, from what I've been hearing, you know, the Rodgers situation and Salah, it's like I heard yesterday he could either win Coach of the Year or he could get fired. There's a huge variance in it.
Huge.
There's a huge variance, but it'll give. I think he's got all the weapons if he is somewhat like 90% healthy coming back from his Achilles tear. They have a top five defense. Now, defense, sometimes it changes from year to year. Offense is usually more predictive. But if they can get a top five defense, I think they're going to do some damage.
They do not feel, and FTN pointed this out in their almanac, they were still top six DVOA back-to-back year. So they've already done the sustain from 1 year to another thing. Obviously, that could change, but they don't feel like a defense that's going to be anything but one of the elite.
You would think so.
Because it's Quinnen Williams on the defensive line. It's Quincy Williams in the linebacking core. It's Sauce in the secondary. You have three players, one on every level, that is just top of the heap.
I mean, they won seven games with like a third and fourth string quarterbacks last year, basically. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how
that's
they did
right.
it. It might be a little bit of credit to Salah. I mean, to win seven games with no offense, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but what you were pointing out, for those who missed it, Matt Buckalter was talking about this yesterday on the show, which is that Robert Saleh is the short shot for Coach of the Year, and he is the short shot to be fired first.
Yep, yeah.
Well, one of the short shots for both. Yeah. So it's a wide variance on the team.
And Quinnen Williams might be a nice little look for a defensive player of the year that no one's talking about. Because you have your top six guys, but he might be someone to, you know, kind of see how the season's going.
All right, this brings up a great, great subject with you. Because I know you were on Puka Nacua.
We were on Puka, and I have another funny story about the Offensive Rookie of the Year this year, too, so I'll tell you that.
Which of the results last year in NFL Awards just – because you had Flacco, right? Okay, so you're not a Hamlin guy. You had Flacco.
Yeah.
But, like, after – and I was trying to take your Flacco brain out of this because you were surprised you won it. What is the one that you are you're staying the farthest away from right now because you're just like, I saw how it went down. I just want no part of this market anymore.
I think the defensive player of the year, it's tough.
It's tough.
That's why
I bring it up because you brought Quinnen.
Yeah, the top six guys, they're all equal. I mean, if they're all healthy, they're all going to have similar stats.
And he's still not the name.
He's not the name.
Yeah.
And I don't know the stat, if he can get you the stats that the other guys can do. I mean, Watt and Garrett and Parsons. I mean, those guys are they're monsters.
You want to talk about the Tyreek thing that you brought up off air?
I sent you a text yesterday. I'm like, you got to convince me from not taking Tyreek for MVP again. And then I go back and he's 150 to 1. I had him last year at 100 to 1. And
not offensive player of the year. You're talking MVP.
MVP.
Now. Yeah.
And, you know, he did get his contract and his money. And people think, well, he's just going to relax. Tyreek has a drive in him that a lot of people I don't think see. And he's pretty good. And if he didn't get hurt last year.
Oh, he's got a drive in him all right, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Sorry. Yeah. You teed it up.
Yeah, that's okay. But, you know, he has a more than reliable quarterback to get him the ball, and he has other weapons so that, you know, you can't really key on just him all the time.
Does he meet the Cleve TA guardrails? I want to bring these up every time. Does he?
No, he does not.
He does not.
In listening to Drew and Andy yesterday, they went through their MVP process, and it's quarterback.
It's a
quarterback. And now the offensive player of the year is, you know, even though quarterbacks have won it in the past, they're looking more towards the wide receivers than the running backs.
This is the problem with that, right? So by the nature of the fact that we do content, right, you can fill content if you want. Anybody can by talking about, oh, wow, Tyreek Hill to win MVP. But it just, like, we have Aaron Schatz on, right, who's one of the 50 voters. And Aaron tells us every time, as much as it drives us crazy, we're not here to have a crusade. Like, this award should be given to this person. We're just trying to win bets. Yeah. So if a voter, and he's correct, right? Every time he's correct. But when he tells us, he goes, no, man, MVP is kind of the quarterback award now, even though there were exceptions in the past. And then offensive player of the year is the catch-all for whoever's the next best player.
Yep.
And so that's, you know, it would take somebody, now this is where the Tyreek thing becomes interesting, right? It would take someone to have stats that are so off the charts, but not just record-breaking. Right. Record-breaking and then beyond.
Beyond, yeah. And besides the yards, he's going to have to compile touchdowns.
Right.
And
it's not enough for him to get 2,000 anymore, is it? He'd have to get like 20, and I'm just making up a number, but if he got 2,500, then we could talk about it.
I mean, his number went down like when we, you know, 100 to 1 last year. I think he got, I don't know, don't quote me on it, 15 to 1, I think, at one point.
Right. But how much of that is us?
It's right. Exactly. It's not a sharp market with that.
Any other NFL bet that you love that you have in pocket now that you're like, I love that. That this, there's a path for this.
I just made offensive rookie of the year bet plus 775 at Circa, Jaden Daniels.
Yes, there it is. Because there's a path. Because he's a quarterback who is going to start from day one.
And he could break Robert Griffin III's rookie quarterback rushing record.
Wait a minute. Let me just think about it. Obviously, people know I feel about RG3. Yeah. It really bothers me that he is not remembered for that.
Yeah.
He won the Rookie of the Year over Andrew Luck. He was the greatest.
He was great.
It was just an incredible, magical rookie season. And then the injuries killed him. And now everybody, you know, the lasting image of him is, you know, face down when injured on the turf. And it's just his fundamentals went to hell. Let's talk about your NL MVP thoughts, because I know you've been you have a great bet on this, and I'm curious if you'd advocate folks making that bet right now. But we'll get into it, where Shohei is the prohibitive favorite, and then Ketel Marte is the shortest shot next on the NL board. That's next with Michael Montesano, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game here at VSiN. Pardon me, the Sports Betting Network, live at Bar Canada here at the Deep Barcanada, the Barrage, for those listening in Spanish. Skill Alexander, Wyatt Tom checking for Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Trust the Glove. The Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce would like you to mention that you can still gamble at the Urgent Care Center after a shiving or shanking. Thank you very much, I will tell them. Mike Alvarez, good luck today, Gil, on moderating at Bet Bash. Oh, yeah, thank you for that, Mike. He says you should impress Billy Walters with your vast knowledge of 90s R&B, and that some people consider you the voice of sports betting. By people, I mean me and Base Winner. Oh, and let him know you're the Commodes Authority. Yes, I will try not to mess up that panel. I am moderating at Bet Bash today. The learning the game, how do legislators and regulators new to sports betting learn who to trust and who to bust? And Billy is on that panel. Billy Walters, as is Alex Kane from Sport Trade, Sean Flaherty, West Virginia State Legislator, and then we have a former director of licensing at the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board, Susan Hensel. But essentially, that panel could go either way. But Billy, my first question on the whole panel is going to be like, you can do anything you want in the world. Why do you feel that it's important to be here? Because he feels like sports bettors need a voice. And he's right. I think we're at a huge inflection point. So I'll try not to mess it up, Mike, is basically the story. Jesse Welch, I'd love to see the ratings in 15-minute intervals of that USA-Serbia game. The last half hour must have spiked immensely. I completely agree. And Steve Fezzik has chimed in. By the way, I should mention Fezzik for two reasons. He has just chimed in about you, Michael. He said, Mike is a really cool guy. I was thinking if there was one guy I wanted to talk to more at Bet Bash, I saw him a couple times but never had a conversation with him. Great choice to have on air. So Steve Fezzik giving you a shout-out. By the way, Fezzik, the same Fezzik who after the first leg of our three-team 10-point teasers didn't even come close to hitting on the Panthers game. By the way, welcome back, preseason football. That was awesome. The Panthers-Patriots game. And so Fezzik just couldn't resist himself last night. Fezzik, greatest guy in the real world. And then on Twitter, he just goes nuts. You idiots. Who bet that crap? I was like, oh, yeah, Steve, we can't think of anything you've bet poorly.
Yeah.
Purdue. anyway, Steve gives you a shout. Steve's great. Okay. Before we move on from football, there was one other thing.
Yeah.
That you wanted to mention.
Yeah. So yesterday, listening to, I sat in on Drew and Andy Molitor's podcast.
Deep dive.
And they went through all the awards. I'll make this longer story a little bit condensed. And my son last year gave me Puka Nacua for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I had no idea who Puka Nacua was. This was like 2 weeks before the season started. I'm like, well, I just logged into Circa. Obviously, I can't. Being in New York, I can't bet Circa. But I said, he's 500 to 1. I said, you know. And I couldn't find him anywhere on any of the offshores or whatever. So then he got down to 100 to 1. And he's like, I really think you should do this, Puka Nacua. I was like,
your son does not sound like this.
You know, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, of course, game one, Puka goes crazy. Uh-huh. And I was like, I got to figure it out. I got to make some calls. And I got, you know, I was able to get 25 to 1 and offshore and whatever, or 30 to 1, I think, you know, you had him as well.
So who's this year's Puka?
So this year's Puka,
who is
he texts me. He goes, Javon Baker from the Patriots, 315 to 1. And Drew and Andy literally said it like 5 minutes later that if you want to take a long shot, take Javon Baker at 315 to 1. I just was like, are you kidding me, my kid? He had it. So I did jump on it, and I think he's down to 200 to 1 at Circa right now.
Javon Baker of the Patriots, by the way.
Yes.
Javon Baker did not, what did he have, two catches last night? Yeah. Not even.
I think he was.
Two catches for 11 yards. Yeah. He was targeted four times total. I will tell you that FTN, again, I'll lean on their preview guy because I can call it up the quickest here. But what they were saying is they don't love him. They think he's just going to add depth to the, ready for this, quarterback room.
Yeah.
Oh, it drives me crazy. It's a thing now. Everybody's saying it's a room. Stop it already.
Everyone has a room.
All right, Javon Baker of the Patriots.
Of the Patriots. I mean, who am I to say?
I don't know if I can get behind that, but I'll have the same reaction after week one. If he goes crazy, I'll be like, all right, let's go to baseball. National League MVP, like in the American League, right? The big thing I've been saying about the American League is Aaron Judge, prohibitive favorite, and as great, and I mean great, as Bobby Witt Jr. is, I still can't bet him. I still can't put money behind him because I know, unless Aaron Judge gets hurt, Aaron Judge is winning this. There's a Yankees bias also on top of it, as great as Witt is. And so I could sit here and prattle on about, oh, which this and which that, but there's no point because he's not going to win it against Judge. National League, Shohei is the behemoth, right? He's the prohibitive favorite. He's minus 1,000 at DraftKings. Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks, a week ago, you got him at what?
40 to 1. When I was in Massachusetts, 40 to 1 at DraftKings.
He's now 6 to 1. Second only to Shohei.
And I've been texting you for a while about
this
and just saying I don't understand these numbers. I mean, I really do deep dives into the awards market statistics for all, you know, MLB, NBA, and NFL, and it just wasn't adding up. Now, do I think Ketel Marte is going to actually win the NL MVP when I made the bet? No, but I said to myself, what if something does happen to Shohei?
It's an injury bet, right?
Or the fact that he, you know, he is a DH, and Marte does – he plays three different positions in the field.
And Arizona's only three back.
They're only three back.
Yeah.
If they somehow can jump the Dodgers and his numbers are close to Shohei, when you add the defense, he has a shot. It was more of just a numbers play, thinking he's the second best player, and the market just was cut. You know, it was Lindor, it was Harper, it was Cruz. They're all having good years.
Would you recommend it at 6 to 1?
I wouldn't recommend it at 6 to 1.
I'll tell you why I wouldn't just off the top. You can get Shohei versus the field. Yep. The field is 6-1.
Yeah.
The field is the same price as Cattell. So
right.
you should, if you're going to do right. it, just bet the field. If you insist on doing it, here are the slash numbers, home runs, and RBI. We actually added stolen bases for Ellie De La Cruz, who's the fifth shot on the board at 50-1, because he leads obviously with 59 stolen bases. But Shohei in all the slash categories, right? Batting average, on base percentage, and slugging. He's ahead of Marte, right? He's 302, 390, 618, whereas Marte's 295, 366, and 553. He's got five more homers, 34 to 29. He's got one more ribby, 81 to 80. And then, by the way, Bryce Harper, 20 to 1, Lindor, 35 to 1. Remember, there was a moment there where everybody was going nuts about Lindor, and you look at his stats, and they're just, I mean, Ohtani's dwarfs him.
Yeah.
Right? They just dwarf these guys. So it is, sometimes we are too close to the sun, or we're actually too much in the moment, because baseball is so long, and there are going to be two-week stretches where somebody shines, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, and you're hoping, as a, me, you know, as a someone who has a position on Marte, that Shohei just cools down a little bit, and yeah. he stays hot the next two months. And if it's relatively close, maybe they'll say that Marte, you know, I know we don't look at WAR anymore.
Well, yeah.
But if it's close, can we look at Baseball Reference WAR instead of Fangraphs WAR? Can we do that? Because if you look at Baseball Reference WAR, you'll see Marte's a little bit ahead of Ohtani.
Because yeah.
I think that's more because of his defense.
I don't know how many of these voters are looking at WAR, sadly. You know what I feel about Marte? Oh, so I have Lugo to win AL Cy Young at 13-1. I feel like the knock on Lugo is the same as the knock on Marte.
Yeah.
Which is, what do people say? I can tell them everything in the world about Lugo. Lugo could win 20 games, and you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, I don't think they're going to give Cy Young to a pitcher on the Royals.
Right.
I feel that way about Marte.
Small market.
Yeah.
I mean, no one has been talking about Arizona all year,
yeah.
and no one has even mentioned Marte at all until, like, 2 days ago.
you talk about quiet seasons. Yeah. No one talks about the Diamondbacks.
No,
and they are, again, I have them at Arizona versus Kansas City at 400-1 in the World Series. I would not be shocked at all to see the Diamondbacks get back.
I wouldn't be shocked either.
Yeah.
I mean, the variance, in as you've said it over and over again in MLB playoffs, and even this year, I mean, going back and forth, the AL, I mean, it's up for grabs, and obviously the NL is up for grabs as well.
This is for Wyatt, because Wyatt is a Braves fan, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, this morning when we, for the first day that we can say this, the Atlanta Braves are on the outside looking in. Wyatt, are you aware of this? Did you check the standings this morning?
See you guys later. It has been a pleasure being here,
Wyatt,
on a numbers game. Yeah, the Braves had probably the absolute worst series that they played all season long. I mean, the Brewers just got base hit after base hit, home run after home run. It was the Braves just sucked this week.
Well, they are now officially on the outside looking in. Now, so we have in this VSiN contest, we have it on numbers game at 8-1. In real life, I have it at +750 for the Braves to miss the playoffs. Will Hill has it at double that. He has it at 15-1. I'm exactly half of what he has. They still have the eighth easiest schedule left in the season. So you could, if you still think they're going to miss the playoffs, you can still get them at plus money, +175. With the eighth easiest schedule, though, do you think that that's the bet to make, the no? Or do you think they're getting there?
I still don't think they're getting there.
I still don't either.
I don't think they're getting there. I have them 8-1 and 6-1 to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's just a different team without Strider and Okuna and some of the other guys. They're just, you know.
I agree. I don't think the easy schedule matters.
I don't think it matters either.
Sometimes it's just not your year, man, with injuries. Michael, a pleasure. We could talk about your bets for a few more segments, but I will tell you this. Let's get you on regularly during the season. Always
Absolutely.
A pleasure, man. I'll see you over at Circa later.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Michael Montesano. No Twitter presence for this man, so I can't give out a Twitter handle. Michael Montesano, Circa Booby Prize winner 2020, the inaugural Circa Booby Prize. Chris Felica, the Bear, from Fox Sports. He's next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you have not heard, VSiN is now proudly owned by Must Burger Media. To celebrate, VSiN is offering its lowest price ever, a special 3-year offer. Get 3 years of VSiN Pro Access for just $350. That saves you over 75% off the monthly price. Amazing deal, but it expires on a Sunday. 48 hours left. Little change on top of that. But that's it. It expires on Sunday. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems and analysis from professional handicappers. 24/7 video access plus access to all of our betting guides. This offer expires Sunday and is available to both current and new subscribers. If you're an existing subscriber that would like to add 3 years to your account, please email us at subscribe@VSiN.com. Or if you're looking to subscribe to VSiN for the first time, please visit VSiN.com/special, pardon me, say that three times fast, to sign up today. That's VSIN/special. It's Gil Alexander. We have a couple tennis plays today, but I am checking on price. Again, these are at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport that they're betting in, every play is at VSiN.com/picks. That is for subscribers. I have two plays today. They're both favorites. One on the men's side, one on the ladies' side. On the men's side, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, which I got at minus 122. It's now minus 137. Honestly, I would not play it at minus 137. To me, the breakoff point would have been about the low minus 130s. Remember when the prices, as opposed to yesterday's, which were huge dogs, and you're like, but you told me to play that dog at 30 cents less than it was. When you're up in like the plus 300 range and it moves to plus 270, mathematically, that's not nearly as big of a move as it seems. Whereas from minus 122 to minus 137, it is. So I would not play it if I'm being, you know, really stickler about this. I wouldn't play it at the current price. If it comes back down, maybe it does, then I would. Anna Kolinskaya on the ladies' side was at minus 127 against Amanda Anisimova. Kolinskaya is way out of whack, minus 156. So again, pays to be a subscriber because sometimes, now, just because I got CLV, Lord knows, doesn't mean they're necessarily going to win. But in the case of Kolinskaya, I would absolutely not play it at the current price. Davidovich Fokina, if it drops down some pennies, I would, but not at the current price. Anyway, so VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. That way you will get the best of the number more often than not. By the way, yesterday we had six plays. Some of them were huge dogs. Two ended up being scratches because they were walkovers, one of which was a big dog on Peyton Stearns. We had Peyton Stearns, I want to get the exact price right here. I think it was plus 250 something. Let me not lie about that. Peyton Stearns against Maddie Keys yesterday was plus 264, pardon me. Plus 264. She's up 3-love in the third set, and Maddie Keys says she's had enough. So if you had that play at a shop that only needs grading after one set, we had a winning day. If you didn't, we had a slight tick of a loss on the net of those six plays yesterday. So anyway, that's how the cookie crumbles. We've been on the wrong side of those quittings so many times this year. Chris Velika joins us. He's the Bear, El Oso, from Fox Sports, the reigning czar of the Bear Bets podcast. And, of course, he's looking forward to college football season, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Chris?
Not much. Hey, have you been talking to Mitch and Pauly, by the way? I heard them talking this morning. I guess they were doing some type of little thing with, like, best front man or best whatever it was. And they went ripped through the whole Bob Seger catalog, like are they angling to get to the D and take your spot?
These
over
guys
there?
Are trying to be at the D, for God's sakes. I don't know. That's so funny. Bob Seger, for those who don't know what the joke is, they play. What do you say? Every Bob Seger song humanly possible at this casino hotel. It's just amazing. Yeah. Well, except for the great ones. Except for the best.
It was funny when we were going to Circa the other day. It's like, yeah, the music at Circa is a little bit more modern.
A little less Seegery, I believe, is what we like to call it. No, but I'll be curious to hear that. You have so many sports here that you want to talk about. Yeah. Can we start with the Olympics? Let's get that out of the way, because the Olympics, yeah, of course, in its final days.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that the bronze medal match, or the semifinal, the women's basketball competition would be very high on my radar. But I was looking in, like, the France national team, they're minus 205 today in the semifinal against Belgium to win, and they're minus 175 to win the silver medal. So, like, if they play the U.S., they're going to be a massive underdog, and they're going to lose to the U.S. in the gold medal game. So I was just thinking, like, hey, you're basically getting a 30-cent discount or so on France to beat Belgium in the semifinal today, assuming they're going to lose to the U.S. So you're just getting a little bit better of a price there. So if betting on the semis in France, Belgium, and looking for a little bit of a discounted price, that might be your jam today.
All right.
175 to win the silver as opposed to 205 to win the game today.
Anything else?
And
Olympic?
You know they're going to get every whistle.
Yes, and you know they're going to get every whistle, as we said yesterday. Anything else? Olympics, or is that was the long and short of it there?
No, that was all I really had. I got a bunch of stuff going on in a parlay, that a big money line parlay, which the minus 3,000 diver came through this morning. So we're good there. So yeah, nothing that and I did see Drew's Lisa Carrington. She won the tandem today, or the
canoe
double,
tandem,
whatever they're called.
Yes.
So that was a appreciate that, Drew. And I'm curious to hear if he thinks we're still going to be good on USA over 39.5 and France under 24.5. So that's my other thing with today too, because I do have France plus 230 to win Olympic gold in men's soccer, and I just don't do I buy some back on Spain? Do I take Spain plus a half? Like do I just wait for end game? Because I mean, they are the two best teams, and France, they have a tendency to play some very tight games that have gone to extra time. So I'm considering maybe buying a little back on Spain plus a half, and maybe see what happens there.
You are not. You and I have talked on this show. We've counted them, 11 different sports, something like that. Mm-hmm. NBA is never one of them. But even you got wrapped up in that game yesterday, didn't you?
I watched more Olympic basketball yesterday than I did in all of NBA through the entire 2023-24 season. Now, it was great. I mean, because, and you hit on it early in the show, when these guys try and play their ass off defensively and were challenged, like it was clear. And LeBron playing both ends of the court like he was, and it looked like vintage Steph with the Warriors. Like it was great to watch. And I would expect that they would go out now on, is it Saturday or Sunday, the gold medal game?
It's tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah, I would think they'll go out and win relatively easy. They got their scare yesterday, and I think they'll come out tomorrow. And I mean, yeah, France is good and legit, but I think it's more of a coronation tomorrow. And I say that as someone who has a France plus 1500 to win the gold ticket.
Oh well, there's that. All right, when does your college football routine begin in earnest at Fox?
We've done two podcasts so far on the Bear Bets Pod, ripped through some college football stuff. We had Colin Wilson on from Action Network 1 week. We had Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews on. Jeff and myself, Will and Sammy, were back this week to talk to some NFL as well. So, yeah, we've had a couple of pods already, and I'm going to be cranking out some more season props and season win totals and stuff on the website soon. But the first big noon will be August 31st. Will be Penn State at West Virginia in Morgantown, which should be a lot of fun.
Morgantown. How do you get to Morgantown?
Yes.
Where do you fly
Pittsburgh,
in?
Pittsburgh, and about an hour and 15-minute drive south.
I love that. All right. Any new college play that you have made since the last time we've spoken?
A bunch. I did play Penn State to make the playoff. At minus 140. Now, I'm not a massive Drew Aller guy at all. He looked spooked last year and was like captain check down and refused to go deep. And they did lose a couple wide receivers, but they did get Julian Fleming from Ohio State to transfer in. If you look at the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams, I don't think there's a team out there in the power leagues that was done better by the expansion than Penn State. Like if you look over the last 8 years, they would have been in the playoff six times. Because you've had the seven straight losses to Ohio State. You lost four straight to Michigan. Oh, by the way, they don't play Michigan this year, as you see on the schedule.
Yep.
They were probably the best defense in the country last year. I think they're still loaded, even without Chop Robinson. Tom Allen is in for Manny Diaz. You bring in Andy Kolonicki from Kansas to be the coordinator. Maybe he can get Aller to break out of that shell. But I think if you look at that schedule, 10-2 looks like a very likely record for Penn State. And 10-2 will get him in the college football playoff.
By the way, you bring up Chop Robinson. I mentioned this when I was talking about the Dolphins. Chop Robinson's 40 time would be the eighth fastest running back time.
Ridiculous.
In the NFL. What else? About 30 seconds here before the break.
I bet Ole Miss under 9.5. I know that's a little bit of a contrarian play. You go down their schedule. I mean, they got the Georgia game. You think you still got LSU. Ole Miss is one of those teams that, in recent history, they haven't necessarily been viewed as like one of these blue blood elite teams haven't been expected to good. It always feels like there's a game or two throughout the year that they lose that they're not supposed to. The Ole Miss under 9.5 was one of the win totals that I played, and I got a couple more after the break.
All right, we'll do a couple more season win totals after the break with Chris. He'll talk some NFL bets as well, and he has some Major League Baseball thoughts, the whole gamut. And Rufus has arrived after texting me, the D or Circa. I think he has found where we are, so we'll have Rufus, the greatest bettor of his generation. But Chris Felica, right on the other side. Numbers Game, Feast, the Sports Betting Network.